Welcome back to The Nightside. Thank you for spending part of your Tuesday evening with us. What is a millennial divorce? Modern couples choosing to live together without getting married, splitting up after buying a house together, has been dubbed the millennial divorce. Well, why would things go in that order? Perhaps people in many cases are smartly thinking, we can't afford a wedding and a house, and we want to be together. So instead of blowing a lot of money on one day, why don't we have what money we do have and put it toward a down payment, and which is a great idea if it ends up working out. But what happens if you are together and you buy a home together, but you're not legally married and you decide to split? It just seems like things would get very complicated at that point. Joining us to talk about what happens in this case is Laura Paris, associate lawyer at Shulman & Partners, LLP. Hi, Laura. Thanks for doing this.
Hi, Barb. Thanks for having me.
Family law lawyers, do you get involved? I guess you would with relationship breakups that are not marriages?
Definitely. So those typically are common law relationships. So okay. we certainly are involved in any sort of disputes that arise from common law relationships.
And do you see a number of people who are homeowners together but not married?
Absolutely. I think that definitely it's a more common trend that we're starting to see. And where in my experience and in my practice, where I'm seeing it is actually more in terms of people looking into getting contracts drafted prior to moving in with their spouse or unmarried spouse, rather than at the end of the road when they've separated and are trying to deal with that. I mean, we see both, but I'd say that there's definitely an upwards trend of people looking to get cohabitation agreements drafted so that they're not dealing with these problems in the event they do end up separating.
You know, it's really encouraging to hear you say that, because I feel like a cohabitation agreement is one of those things that, we should have done this, and people either don't get around to doing, or they find it would be insulting or something like that. Do you think people tend to look at those agreements when one or the other has more assets coming into a relationship?
Absolutely, and that would be the main reason why you would want to enter into a cohabitation agreement if you have one person that's contributing more financially than the other, so that in the event of any sort of separation, the person who has contributed more is receiving that back at the end of the road. So definitely, you're seeing it more when there is some sort of income or asset disparity, rather than two people that are either coming in with nothing or coming in on equal footing.
Okay, I know you have lawyer client privilege, and obviously I don't want you to break that, but I'm so curious. There have to be situations where you can tell one person is not into doing this agreement, or do people usually come in both very on board?
No, I'd say for the most part, there usually is resistance by one spouse, and I think that it comes down to more the emotional aspect of it. I don't think it's really necessarily rooted in I want your money,
right.
But more, why do you think I would take your money? And I think that's more where we see the resistance. And even in my personal experience, I'm in the age group that's dealing with this, and a lot of my friends have these conversations with me, and that's where I'm noticing the resistance comes from. It's more, why would you think that I would ever do something like this to you? Why do you need an agreement to clear that up? I'd never take this money from you.
So what happens if people are living together, not married, own a home together, they decide to split up? Are there any hard and fast rules like don't leave the residence, don't move out of the residence, stay in the residence until you've sorted things out?
It really depends on the situation. So first and foremost, for it to become a family law issue, you need to be a common law spouse. If you have not met the threshold to be common law, then the claim is going to be a civil claim. So you wouldn't even deal with it within the family branch. So in order to be classified as common law, you have to be cohabitating with one another for a period of 3 years, or have a child with the person and be living in a relationship of some permanence. So that that's number one, where, you know, you would have to decide whether you're dealing with a civil lawyer or a family law lawyer. Now, assuming that it does fall, you know, within the family law realm, then it really depends on different factors. So one, who put down the down payment? How is property held? Like, how's title held? If you put in the down payment and you've been carrying the expenses and you're the only person that's legally on title, for the most part, you're in a pretty safe position. Any sort of claims that are going to be made are going to be made against you by the other partner, and that partner is going to have to prove why they're entitled to some share of that property. Where you need to be a little bit more concerned, and you may, you know, feel like you need to stay in the house in order to protect your interest, is where you're giving title, where you've given title that doesn't necessarily reflect the financial contributions by either party.
So, if people are in the position of thinking about doing something like this, ways to set it up properly. I was going to say protect yourself, but it's more about setting it up properly. So is it better to have both parties on the title? If both
Not
people
necessarily.
Are...
Not necessarily.
Okay.
So it really depends on what, you know, what your bottom line is. In the event, and, you know, people don't like to think, you know, in terms of in the event of separation or worst case scenario, but really when you're setting up title, you want to think of it in worst case scenario. So if two people are walking in again on equal footing, they're both contributing the same amount, then title should reflect the contributions and should be split 50-50. Now, if only one party's contributing to the down payment of the property, but the intention is that at, you know, if the relationship ends, that the value, the property is still going to go 50-50, then yeah, in that case, you would hold title 50-50 and then maybe have some sort of side agreement or cohabitation agreement that simply protects the initial investment so that, you know, you get that back, but then any increase in value to the property is going 50-50. So it all really depends on how you want to see things going. If you are if you've been the only person to contribute to the house and you want to keep it at the end of the road, I mean, you should not put someone else's name on it. And you should get an agreement drafted, because as soon as we get into the common law sphere, that's where common law spouses can begin to make claims. Now, whether or not they're going to be successful on their claim is a whole other story. But even just opening yourself up to that claim creates, you know, people going to lawyers, legal fees, et cetera. And at that point, had you just gotten an agreement drafted from the beginning, you could have saved yourself all that headache.
Okay, and I just want to go back and clarify one point. So common law threshold is 3 years together, except if you have a child, then it's an automatic common law?
Correct.
Okay.
With a child and in a relationship of some sort of permanence. So you're still living together. You know, they're still obviously cohabitating, but if you have a child together, then you don't need to hit that 3-year threshold. It'll be when the child is born.
Okay. And if people are considering buying a home together and not getting married, they really should look into a cohabitation agreement.
Absolutely. And again, the only reason that I would say, you know, you may not need one is if contributions are going to be 50-50, because in that case, there's really nothing to protect. So long as you guys maintain that the everything that's going in is always going to be 50-50 and title reflects that, then there would not necessarily be a need for any sort of agreement.
One other question. If title only has one person, but the two parties are 50-50, then the party that's not on title has to have proof of their contributions.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Very interesting, as always. Laura, thanks so much for this.
Thank you.
Laura Paris, Associate Lawyer at Shulman & Partners, LLP. You are listening to The Nightside.